Hey, praise the Lord, I'm Pastor Jesse Rich. Honored, delighted, glad you tuned in today. Let's turn our Bibles here to Proverbs chapter 4. We're starting at verse 20. We're building our spirit man up, renewing our mind in God's Word, and feeding our faith on God's Word. Now, here in Proverbs chapter 4, this is like directions to divine healing, divine health. Thank God for the gifts of spirit. Thank God for special anointings. Thank God for the gifts of healing manifestation and all the ways that God ministers divine healing, laying on the hands, anointing with oil. But knowing what the Word says about you is one way you can receive your healing and keep it also. Even if you receive healing some other way, and thank God for all the ways God provided, you want to maintain that health and healing by knowing what the Word says. So here in Proverbs chapter 4, now verse 20, it says here, "My son, attend to my words, incline ear to my sayings. Let them not depart my eyes, keep them in his heart." Now what happens if we do this? Well, God goes on and says here, "For they are life to those that find them, and health to all their flesh." Remember Jesus said there in John 6:63, "The words I speak here, they are spirit and they are life." Hallelujah, that's what God's Word does. It gives us life. It brings faith. It takes work. Flesh doesn't want to do this. Mind doesn't want to do this. But they're going to get benefits out of it because your flesh is always going to want good health. If you've lost your health, you can go get it with God's Word. No matter what the devil's trying to tell you that you're going to die with, and you're not going to get healed up or anything, he'll come with that all the time. You're constantly just resisting him. Remember James chapter 4, verse 27? Verse 7. "Submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee." And Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27, "Neither give place to the devil." Well, first of all, as believers, we don't want to give him any place. So we need to stay out of sin, make sure we always obey God, and don't get out there in disobedience. If we do, be quick to make the change on it. Repent of it. God, forgive me in Jesus' name. I know Jesus took our sins, but you want to make the correction. Because you can't just keep going off doing the wrong things and walking divine health. And then also obey what you get in your spirit. You're going to know in your spirit just things you're supposed to do and things you're not supposed to do. And this is where your prayer time is going to come in. As you pray in the spirit, keep yourself close to God. You keep your heart tender. It's easier to know when you miss God and when you need to make the correction. You know, let's go over here to Romans chapter 8 and read here about being led by the inward witness. In Romans chapter 8, now the scripture says here in verse 14, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Now look how we should be led, is by the inward witness. And you're going to get, this takes some work. I mean, it'd be a lot easier, like the Old Testament, you put out a fleece or go to the prophet and get a word. But underneath the new covenant we have the Spirit of God living inside of us. And he wants to lead us by an inward witness. This is how we're going to know we're born again, if we've been saved. Because it goes on, it says here in verse 15, "For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, whereby I cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." Now, how do we know we're born again? The Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit. And that's how he'll lead us in life. See, Jesus there in Mark chapter 2, verse 8, he perceived in the spirit. He knew in the spirit. And that's how we know things. Paul there in Acts chapter 16, he perceived that this woman, what she said, or what she was involved in was of the devil. Now, how do you know this? He picked it up in the spirit. And as a church, as believers, we need to train ourselves to be led by the inward witness. Now, we're kids. We're going to make mistakes. But the thing is, don't give up on it. Keep working on it. You're making your mind up in Jesus' name, I'm going to be led by the Holy Spirit. See, our minds aren't born again, our flesh isn't born again. So when we received Jesus Christ the Lord, we became a new creature in Christ. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, "If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things become new." So it's easy, you know, if we don't train ourselves to be led by our emotions, man, or led by our mind, or led by our flesh, or led by our feelings. And that comes to us every day. People do us wrong, so we think, well, that's just it. Well, what do you got in your spirit? See, as we stay in prayer, so it's easy to get in the flesh and act like the world acts and live the way the world lives. See, Jane and Joe Sinner, they're not being led by the Holy Spirit. They're being led by another spirit. Yeah, they're being led by their mind. They're being led by opportunity. I mean, people switch jobs because they have an opportunity. People buy a different house or rent a different place because they have an opportunity. Well, That's something I just want to do, Brother Rich. I want that other house. I want that other apartment. Well, good. Praise the Lord. God wants you to have the best. But what do you have in your spirit about this place? Well, I don't know. Well, this is something you want to find out about. See, the Bible doesn't tell you what house to live in. It doesn't really tell you what car to get. It doesn't tell you, how, you know, take the train or take the plane. How are you going to know what to do? Well, one way is through praying the Spirit, by knowing your spirit what God wants you to do. See, we have the witness of the Holy Spirit in our spirit. And He'll witness to us if this is what we're supposed to do. And we definitely should know when we missed it. That we just grieve the Spirit. We just, you know, it's easy in church service to quench the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. He's wanting to do something, and the minister's not yielding to Him. Because they got this program all figured out, or got their notes all figured out, or outline all put together, and come, you know, like the world say, hell or high water, I must stay with this. Well, thank God for the notes, and thank God for the program, and thank God for the studying you did. But you know, you're going to get up there sometime just knowing your spirit, you know, I'm up to, you know, there's something else God must do. Maybe just have you keep singing one song. Or maybe, you know, have you teach a different message. Or instead of teaching today, you're going to preach. Or we're just going to wait on God and sit in His presence. You know, and if you got guest speakers there, then, you know, it can be tough on you. There was this church, and still is, in the New York City area. And it's this world-famous church. And there's this family lived down in Texas, and the husband had to take a business trip up to New York City, and so he decided that when we go, we'll just take our family. And they had a teenage son who was on drugs like cocaine or something, and they had a real problem with him and the Christian family, and he got hooked on drugs. And so the husband just thinks, well, you know, how about if we just all go up there? And while we're up there, we'll go to this church. So they made arrangements, you know, not just for the husband to go, but for his wife and his son. You know, they had that weekend or that week there, whatever time they was there at New York, staying at a hotel. And it came time for Sunday morning. The husband looked at the flight tickets, or I think they're going out to LaGuardia or wherever, and realized, oh, man, I thought this was afternoon flight, you know, later on today. And here we won't be able to go to the church. And the wife speaks up. Well, they felt like they should go. Well, we'll just go and get part of the service. See, because we get to the airport. You know, this is what we felt like we're supposed to do, you know, in your heart. So we're going to go. So the wife and the husband took their son. They go to the church. And here this church is known all over the world. And, you know, they're known for their music and everything else. And just spectacular church. And so the pastor's sitting there in the audience. And he doesn't, you know, I mean, the place is packed. And he's sitting there in the front row. And it just keeps coming to his heart. Stop the service. Stop the singing and get up. And he didn't want, he thought he'd offend the singers and the song leader and everything. I mean, just all kinds of things going in his mind. But he thought, you know, I mean, in just moments' time, all these thoughts are coming to him. And his heart got stopped the service from the singing and just get up. And, you know, he doesn't know what he's going to do next. So finally, the pastor thought to himself, well, I got to do what I believe God wants me to do. No matter how embarrassing this may look and how other people may think, he got up. As he's walking up to there, he grabbed a guy that he knew who'd come to this church and used to be on drugs, and grabbed sort of, you know, like a guy would grab a guy, and brought him on up and said, Brother so-and-so, give me your testimony. So this guy took like a few minutes to give his testimony. He got delivered from drugs, used to live on the streets. And the pastor said, I know we normally don't do this. We usually have a long service and everything, sing songs, but I just need to give an altar call. If you need delivered, come forward. Well, now these people from Texas got to take this flight in a little bit. They took their son down and he got delivered. And so, you know, they thank God, son got back to Jesus, got delivered from drugs. And so they go back home and go back to Texas. And finally, the father, the dad of the kid, decides he's going to call the church. And I think he wanted to get a CD or the service or something. And he's talking to this lady, answers the phone, and he begins to say, I just want you to, I'm going to try to tell the story without crying, man. So he said, I just want you to know that I'd like for you to tell the pastor that, you know, he obeyed God Sunday. I mean, he had no idea my son's in the audience, and we had to leave, and, you know, all this other stuff. And, you know, we could have stayed. And, I mean, not that they couldn't change their flights, but you get the point. So I went on and on about this. And I just want you to let him know that just keep obeying God. My son got delivered. And will he get the message? And she goes, trust me, you get the message. I'm his daughter. Well, you see, now the pressure was on that pastor not to do what he had in his heart, right? And the circumstances against the people about bringing her son. But both of them obeyed God, and God turned out a miracle. Now, see, the devil doesn't want us to be led by the inward witness. And this has everything to do with healing and prosperity and everything else, because we need to go by what we got in our spirit. And lead us and guide us. And just keep following God. There was a dear man that came to Bible school I went to, and he gave his testimony. And he was born again, spirit-filled, and wasn't married yet, and went to college and lived with his parents and got a job when he came out of college working in a bank, you know, as a teller. So he's not making a whole lot of money, but he's living at home, and he's saving his money. And he got, a few thousand dollars saved, and the bank, he's been saving his money all along. One of the bank officials came to him and said, "You, we looked at your resume and everything, and we're getting ready to branch out, and we need a real estate department so we can start buying properties to build banks on. You know, we'd like for you to work it up." So he starts working that department and eventually gets his, real estate license, I guess his broker's license, and he's been praying and spending time in God's Word. And says, "Lord, if you ever want me to do anything, I just thank you, let my spirit know." And every day, he'd be shaving and getting ready. He'd be praying, and he'd listen to a tape on being led by the inward witness, being led by the Spirit. And so one day, he's shaving, he realized he needs to quit his job and start his own real estate business. And so he does, and he gets down. He spent all of his money, hasn't made any money yet, with his new business. And he's down to $50, I think it was. And so that morning, one morning he was shaving, it comes to his heart, "I want you to go down to this gas station and ask this man about selling his property." He thought to himself, "I've been there. Last time I was there, the guy liked to rent me off the property." He thought he was going to be arrested, Talking about the Minnesota State man. So he said, he keeps on shaving and getting ready. And he thought, I always told God I'd try to do my best to follow him. I'm going to go down. Now, the guy's, not a real, fleshy kind of person. So this is a real big deal to go down and face this guy again. So, I pulled up that gas station. That man was just getting out of his car and come up and unlocked the gas station. And I walked to him and I said, "Mr. So-and-so, would you be interested in selling your property?" He said, he was turning the key on the lock. He stopped. I thought, "Boy, I don't know what this guy's going to do." He said, you got the paperwork with you?" He said, "Yeah, I do." He said, "I want to sell it." From that deal, I made $50,000. And, at the time he told the story, it was worth $38 million. But what did he do? He trained his spirit himself to be led by the inward witness. Just like that pastor stopped the service. I mean, that'd be tough. You got hundreds of people that's from other countries, not to mention your whole congregation. But stepped out and did it. And the father and the mother, knew they needed to be at that church for that service for some reason, and had no idea their son's going to get delivered miraculously, and went on serving Jesus. You see, praying the Spirit and spending time in God's Word, the devil keep telling you not to do it. He doesn't want you to do it. Your flesh doesn't want to do it. Your mind doesn't want to do it. But thank God, by obeying God, great miracles and great blessings coming out of it. And we need to learn to train ourselves to go by what we got in our spirit. It takes time, and we spend the rest of our life working on it. But the first thing is make a decision. I want to hear from God. Now, we don't follow voices. We don't follow feelings. Many times we said to people, "I felt like I should do this." Well, what we meant is we had the witness. Thank God for prophecy, but we're not led by prophecies or dreams or visions. We're led by the inward witness. Do I have a witness? This is what God wants me to do. No matter how spectacular it may seem, and thank God for the supernatural power of God, when all comes down to bottom line, do I have the witness in my spirit? This is what God wants me to do. Now, your head's not going to want to do it. Your flesh isn't going to do it. Most of the people and not all of them, they're not going to want you to do it if they find out about it. But you have to live with the decision you make. Now, you'll make mistakes, but you need to learn where I made a mistake, and I'm going to do that again. Because mistakes cost you. They cost you blessings. Though you may not mean it. I mean, the guy stepped out in front of the train, he didn't mean to do that, but he was just as dead if he meant to do it. So this is important for us. Jesus gave us the church. So we're going to know. See, we're going to know if we should do this or not. Especially, you just sense, I'm not supposed to do this. Now, when you begin to tell people you're not going to do it, they're going to want an explanation, an excuse. And usually we don't bring God up in the situation because they wouldn't understand it anyway. See, spiritual things to the natural man are foolishness to them. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:14. But as you learn to train yourself, it'd be greatly beneficial to you. If you don't have a CD entitled Feed Your Spirit Man Daily, you can get it. An offering of $10 or more, we'll send it out to you. You can have your own copy. If you just want to listen to it on the internet, you can on our website at jesserichministries.com. If you'd like to write and get it, write Jesse Rich Ministries, Post Office Box 237170, New York, New York, 10023. Enjoyed being with you. You stay faithful to God. And remember, Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.